the Welsh rugby fans. We're halfway through the Celtic Challenge, so we thought we'd jump on, we'd have a chat, see how things are going. Tonight we're joined by two guests, Rocky Clark, MBE, the infamous legend of England rugby. And we're also joined by Natalia John, Wales's own second row, who's back from injury, looking forward to the Six Nations. So grab yourself a cuppa or a beer, sit down, tune in, because it's all on the pod.
We're honoured to be joined by Rochelle Rocky Clark, MBE. Rochelle has 130. Can I just call you Rocky?
Please do. Yeah, I only get told off of Rochelle.
Yeah, 137 England caps, which include playing at the 2006, 2010, 2014, and 2017 Rugby World Cups. You earned your 50th cap in 2010 at the World Cup that Carol and myself were playing at.
Yeah, a great World Cup, that one we didn't win. Nah.
Well, neither did we, so you're all right.
Yeah, all right. Well, we were, you know, it's sad times. We were expecting.
You were a bit closer than us.
3 points. That was really tough. But hey-ho, hey-ho.
Yeah. You were appointed your MBE in 2015. You've retired from international rugby, from Premiership rugby, but you do having a run out for your local team on the weekend.
I do indeed, yeah. They roll me out, I go out in my little blue scrum hat and waddle around for 40 minutes and I love it. Just come off the bench, little cameo, and yeah, it's great fun. So it's great to still be involved and scrummaging, you know, my favourite thing to do.
Well, before you two get excited about that, I feel like that introduction has done you no justice because you are a massive legend of the game and, you know, even though we're on very different sides and very different ends of the scoreboard as well, I'm actually hung up on the blue scrum cap thing. Do you still play in the same one?
Do you know what? I've still got the same one from the World Cup. So I do still have that, but I got given a freebie a couple of weeks ago. So I've been charging around in that for the last few games.
Oh,
so, you know, got to wear a bit of free stash, right?
Love a bit of free stash. So do our listeners some justice then, Rocky. Give us a rundown on your career.
Alrighty, wow. Take you back. Started playing when I was 15. A friend at school said to me, listen, we're really short, you come and play. I was like, absolutely not. I'll get injured. That is horrific. I'm not getting my head kicked in. She said the next week, look, we're really desperate. We're not going to be able to play unless you play. I was like, for God's sake. So I went training. Two training sessions later and I played my first game. No idea what I was doing. But they pretty much got past me the ball and they went run that way. And as a big unit of a youngster at 15, I ran my way through and was pretty good at it. So then just went through, never played any other position other than prop growing up. And so I didn't know anything else or love anything else. A couple of times I've played 8 and 6 and been really scared that I'm going to get gassed. But apart from that, all my life has been a loose head. And yeah, started playing for Henley, went up to Bladen. You know, I played for a lot of Prem clubs, to be fair. Worcester, Wasps, Saris. Yeah, I've been around a bit. But, you know, when you play 400 years, you've got to go somewhere and get bored of you. So, and then, yeah, I played at 4 World Cups, which was incredible. Lots of Six Nations campaigns. And yeah, just lived the dream for 15 years from my first cap at 22 to my last at 37. I had an absolute ball and the best day of my life was winning the World Cup and, you know, something I'm incredibly proud of. And I've just rode on the back of it really for the last few years and enjoying rugby and enjoying life.
So what do you do with your time now then?
So I coach at a school 3 days a week and then the rest of the time is now dedicated to try and make it in the broadcasting and media world. So getting out and about. I love a challenge. I love a cycling challenge or a rowing challenge or a burpee challenge or something. So because I used to be like a real fat potato when I first started playing rugby, like real big girl, like 110 kilos. So I was a unit and it wasn't good muscle. So I got capped. They dangled the carrot and then they went, look, you'll play for England a lot of times if you sort yourself out. So within a year, I'd lost 30 kilos and then I got my third cap and that's where I pretty much stayed for 15 years. So I always need something to keep me going. I love a beer, I love a cake, I love a hot dog. So I've got to train like a nutty person to be able to keep eating and drinking what I want, really. That's retired life, right?
Yeah, 100%.
I don't agree. Carol, we've had some crazy retired people on here that just want to keep exercising.
I think that there's something around, you want to keep eating what you were eating before, so you've got to do the exercise or you pile on the pounds pretty quickly.
Really quickly. Yeah, for sure. So who's been your craziest person you've had on your pod then, who's done the weirdest and wonderfulest challenges?
Well, the last one we had was Rebecca Rowe.
Oh, blimey, fair play.
Yeah. So she's just actually finished it for our listeners. Like, she's completed it. She got to the South Pole over 54 days, I think. Like, some of the videos are just whiteouts, like, didn't see anything throughout the whole day. But they've just got home, just got back.
Yeah.
All safe and sound, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah. Looked incredible. What an absolute nutcase, but incredible woman as well. Like, fair play. I mean, I love a challenge, but I don't think I could do that for 54 days.
Yeah. I'm actually scared what she's going to do next. Like, if that's like, you know, there's definitely going to be something else in a few years' time that she's going to do. And you're just like, oh my God.
That's just a warm up. Fair play.
So what's your challenge going to be, Rock?
Okay, here's a weird one. So over the summer, I got signed up to doing the Centurion ride from London to Paris. It was during the Men's World Cup. And I was actually doing some comms out there and I had to get back to London to restart it. However, I was going to miss the start time. So I jumped in with one of my mates who was getting a ferry across, got the ferry at like 4 a.m., stood on the side of the M25, got a lift off another mate and got dragged up to Twickenham and started at 9 a.m. cross-eyed, no sleep, on the back of comms and living life and going to and from Paris every like 4 days. It was insane, but it was incredible. I didn't stop on the, there was a couple of awful hills. Like I never knew hills could be this big. And I was like, I'm going to start rolling backwards down them. But somehow Tamara Taylor was there, Donna Kennedy, Amy Garnett, and us old girls had a few beers, had a few laughs, and had a great crack. And somehow we managed to get up there. Couldn't sit down for about 4 days and wanted an ice bucket as soon as I went in a bar, not for good reasons. And that was about it. So it was a top crack. So who knows what the next one is? I don't know. We've been talking about maybe doing one with paddling and hiking as well as cycling. So that's probably the next summer's one. Get something to focus on. Anyway.
Who comes up with the ideas? Like, who's the driver?
Well, I have to say, you know, like in rugby, there's piano pushers and piano players. And generally, me and you are the pushers, right? Donna Kennedy, bit lazy, Tam, bit lazy, Amy Garnett, bit lazy. So I've been trying to push these different ones and, you know, you get two out of the three saying, yeah, and then one don't reply. So we did a challenge just before Christmas, 12 days, where you had to do 50 burpees, 50 press-ups, 50 squats, 50 sit-ups. For 12 days leading into Christmas, it was fine, but then, you know, you start getting the excuses coming out and we were like, come on! So that was cool, but I liked it, just that teamwork and camaraderie working together. And like, you know, with you girls here just having a crack, it's awesome. It just goes back to sort of being in your playing days.
Yeah, I think it's important to keep on with the momentum for it, or like find ways to find like either fun stuff or to challenge yourself, like, because you've done it for so long that it's kind of ingrained in you and you kind of miss that little nugget, definitely. And also I saw, Rocky, that you were like talking like around your like body image stuff and stuff like that, and being like, actually like use your body for power, like strength, and just kind of how you talk about yourself now. Like, I've definitely gone through kind of some of those things over the years of like when someone's like, right, you got to put weight on, and you're like, no, I don't want to, I want to wear a dress, like and that battle and stuff like that. I found that really powerful, some of your videos that have come out.
Thank you. It's do you know what, it's taken me an absolute age, because I used to not give much away, but now I've retired and aged and anything, I've just got a loose mouth now. So I'm like, I just be honest. And I've been on a bit of a journey. Like, retiring for me was really, really hard, and that's why I think it's good to have challenges and still catch up with old teammates and stuff. But one of the hardest parts was feeling like I didn't really have any purpose or anything. And I've had a few issues like with mental health and anxiety and things. So I just found it was really important to talk to people and let them know that actually, you know, it is normal. People go through stuff, and to also, you know, enjoy your body, celebrate your body. And so, yeah, that's why I've put it on social media, to be authentic, but to also inspire others to actually celebrate. You know, rugby is a game for big girls, tall girls, slow girls, fat girls, doesn't matter, anything, skinny girls. Like, so that's what I want to celebrate, all of those. And I happen to tick, you know, big girl, bit of a belly girl, and want to show that. So if you follow my socials, you see me dancing around in bloody leotard looking disgusting, but, you know, got to own it.
Yeah, but you're achieving like massive amount of stuff from it. So like, just be proud of, like, I love how proud you are. I'm just like, actually, this is me. Like,
yeah,
this is
what I know. Unapologetically me, if I could put my
No, it's brilliant. We all got to be more like that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about life after rugby. What I love seeing is so many old girls, for want of a better term, like still contributing to the game, whether it's coaching or commentating. Because when we first entered the game, we're right about the kind of the same era. When we first entered, there was none of that. You never saw a female commentator. You never saw any female media on rugby. And now we've got, you know, we've got you, the former players from England, and in the Welsh scene, we got Snowy just breaking in now. We got Phil's doing incredible stuff. Shauna jumps on the mic when she's not involved in games. And it's just, you know, it's increasing massively. So is that something you want to pursue? Is that something that's a big goal of yours?
Yeah, that's a massive goal. And I'd love to go sort of full-time in that domain. But it is so hard to break into. And it's fantastic. There are a lot of names coming through, but still, you know, there's so much rugby, there's so much work, you know, there's room for everybody. And it, what's really nice is hearing a different perspective rather than just those big names you hear all the time. Like, actually, you know, some people want to know about the front row, why it's collapsed and the dark arts and all that. And, you know, us scrum boars all love all that. You know, it's that prop chat, we love it. So I love being able to give a different insight. And when I commentate, I like to get my personality across. So, you know, I'm not scared to say things, but also you've got to have a great rugby knowledge. So hopefully we'll keep progressing. My calendar's sort of grown twofold in the last year, so fingers crossed it'll keep happening like that. But certainly that is, yeah, the path I want to do. And I love, as you can tell, I love a bit of a chat. So after dinner speaking as well, I have a beer and let the mouth go, and people love it. So it's great.
Great. I want to come on to your views on stuff. We obviously are very opinionated in the rugby space. I want to turn your focus to the Welsh game. You've known a lot of the Welsh players, and you know, you understand the Welsh game from an outsider kind of perspective. And from that view, can you tell us what you think of the Welsh game?
Yeah, I think it's heading in the right direction. I'm impressed how far the Welsh game has come in terms of obviously going professional, and the skill set is massively improved. And I think just watching sort of last year's Six Nations, seeing the length of the passes and the different like quality and set piece and stuff like that, I've been really impressed in the structure. An area I thought needed work on was a bit of tactical kicking, but I've seen that's really coming into the game now as well. Like Lecky's kicking at Gloucester has just been incredible, and she's been a great player, and Robin as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing the new era come from Wales. And I remember playing Wales back in the day. I can't remember what the pitch was. We used to go right out, real muddy pitch. You literally broke your ankles. You couldn't see each other over the mud. I was trying to think of the stadium. I'd say stadium.
100%, I think it's Cross Keys. Sorry, Cross Keys.
I don't know. It was before then, I think. So it must have been back in the day. I remember I did like Cross Keys. I remember when you play the Welsh, you're like, oh God, they're going to kill everything. It's like, they're really disruptive. They've always been a really hard team to play. And I used to love playing the Welsh. And I think you've still got that air of being disruptive, but I think you've actually really developed your skill set as well. And I'm really pro Wales, doing well in the Six Nations and being super competitive. Tough with the WXV results, but you know, I think it's just more time. And then I'd be interested to see where you guys think there needs to be improvements as well. But it's certainly is on the up. And as an outsider, I'm really impressed where it's come from and where it's going. I think there could be, you know, top four competitively.
Yeah,
that's
better
the
not be the Six Nations, you mean?
No, not the Six Nations, in the world.
We were third last year. We're hoping for a top two finish this time round.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think that, you know, you have the potential to do that. And where are your games this year?
Blues home. So we got three games home. Two at the Cardiff Arms Park, and then we finish with Italy in the Principality.
Wow, that sounds awesome. Brilliant. Yeah, bring it on. I shall be watching.
Good. You're welcome to come down and join us for a pint.
Oh, my God. I was listening to one of your podcasts about the tour. I thought, oh, Christ, that could be really messy. So, yeah. I'd definitely come and watch one of them for sure.
There's something we're going to have to mention right at the beginning of the answer to that question. You talked about the next generation of players and you mentioned Shaky George, but you mispronounced the name.
Sorry.
So if you're going to do comms, you're going to have to get it right.
Flaky. Okay?
So I'm going to hand you over to Carol now, who can pronounce it far better than me.
Come on,
then. Shaky George. Yeah, Shaky.
Flaky.
Yeah, that's it. That's better.
It's a bit like Flaky, but Shaky.
Yeah, the double L, see, it trips everyone.
Yeah.
But she's phenomenal, isn't she? 50-22.
Oh my gosh, she does it for fun, doesn't she? And she's a unit. What I love about her, ball, amazing ball carry. You wouldn't want her running at you. Her kicking, she's got a massive old boot. And then her passing, you're like, come on, let's. She's such a threat. I love her at 10. Like, I really, really. And I love the team she's got around her at Gloucester, and she's just pulling those strings. And she's sat there like a princess, but can also get down and dirty, bowl her way through. What's she like, 84 kilos and 5'4"? She's like a bowling ball, an awesome girl.
With an incredible skill set.
Incredible skill set. One to watch. Really impressed with her.
Yeah. So you're a lot closer to us because of the English Prem in terms of watching these girls week in, week out. So obviously Shaky is an impressive, but how are the girls doing in the English Prem?
Yeah, like I've you can't get past, and I'm a big fan girl of so am I saying this right, Cecilia? Is that right? Yeah, big fan of her. I remember playing against her, and she was sort of coming in at second row and occasional prop, and I was like, she must play tight head prop, she will be awesome. And she's just a unit, isn't she? And again, awesome skill set. She's been impressing. Also, Kelsey Jones, hat trick at the weekend. Red card as well. Get your name in lights for both. Why not? She's been pretty awesome. Just love her work rate, ball carrying, getting around the park. Massive fan of Alicia Butcher. I did Barbarians with her, and she's a top kid, work rate, great skill set. You know, I'm saying the same sort of thing about all of them. But and then played alongside Donna Rose at Sarries, like an absolute bruiser. You wouldn't want to be on the end of a tackle of her. She would cut you in half. But she's been a good kid. A big fan of Kira Bevan as well. Like they're all playing so well, and it's great to see how much they've developed and prospered since going as full-time. I think that's made a big difference, and the quality of the coaching they're getting in the club land and the opportunities, it's great to see.
Mm. Yeah, you can really see like growth in that in the last 2 years, like with the contracts and then just kind of playing standard in the PWR and everything. Like you can see like competition's high for places, and like two of those three that you just mentioned, like Kelsey and the Butchers, we're in the team of the week this week, and Karis Cox added to that, who did like a phenomenal try last week.
So it's
good to see like the Welsh girls actually putting pressure on, like within selections and turning up and stuff.
Massively, week on week out, you've definitely got the Welsh contingent putting their hands up each week for player of the week. So I've been really impressed, and then obviously with your Celtic Cup going on as well, and seeing Flip Flop getting a hand back in there. I'd love to see her back in the Welsh fold. And again, I'm a big fan of bowling balls, and I think that she is an absolute bowling ball. Again, with an incredible skill set as well. So I'm fingers crossed we see her back in a Welsh jersey.
So if people who don't know what you mean by flip-flop, we're talking Rebecca De Filippo, who's playing in the centre for Lightning. Yeah?
Yeah, for Gwalior Lightning, yeah.
Gwalior Lightning, yeah. And we've also got Sheepy that's made her come back as well.
I saw, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we're not only relying on generating new talent, but we're drawing some oldies out of the woodwork as well.
Get them out of the woodwork where they are. The old girls are the inexperienced as well. Like, you know, you get the nous, but then you just get that raw, you know, don't care, loads of talent, like just fast tempo. I love it. So a mix of both. And when you can, chuck them together and they get time together is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important for us that our current players are playing in Inter Premiership, putting their hand up week in, week out. But we can't deny the fact that we need to build our game back here. And this Celtic Challenge, I know we're going to come on to talk about it later, Carol, your coaching in that, is just, you know, it's so needed. And we're so glad the WRU have invested, not just by, you know, staying within it, but like throwing full resources behind it, got great coaching and given all the facilities they need. It's really exciting time for Welsh rugby. And does it appear like that from the outside?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Wales has made the headlines quite a few times over the last couple of years, not for the best reasons, but certainly within the women's game, seeing how well they did in their first season of some of them were contracted, I think, and you could see the difference with those girls. And then over the last year as well, the positive outcome coming from the women's game is massive. And I think, reinvested in home talent, playing at home as well, is vitally important, not just strengthening English rugby cup game as well as club game, sorry. I think we need to do it for the Welsh, but certainly it's all good things coming out of it.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, which means they'll be an exciting because they announced the Lions.
Yes. Incredible, huh? Yeah, I'm so mad. I'm so old. Damn it.
Like, I was the same.
Yeah. Oh, I was. Yeah. I saw it and I went, flights. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's holiday time. Yeah, well, I'll be there. I'll be there watching. Hopefully, commentating. Be nice.
Yeah, broadcasting. Yeah.
Yeah, we shall see. Or maybe a little bit of scrum coaching. Who knows?
Oh, nice. Whoa. Yeah. So let's talk about your reaction to this, because all I know is former players and current players going, "Yeah, this is frigging awesome." But then you see some coverage that goes, "Oh, it should have been this. It should have been that. I wish it was this instead." And we've all got thoughts on it. Rocky, what's yours?
Hey, listen, like, we want the women's game to, you know, to explode and be bigger and better than women's football, bigger and better than lots of things. It has been a little slow over the last sort of 20 years, but I would say the last 2 years, how it has snowballed and exploded. We've got to celebrate these wins and to, you know, some people are saying, oh, well, how many other nations are going to represent and all that sort of stuff. I think we just need to get the games being played, get the coverage, expand the women's game worldwide. And yeah, there probably will be a fair amount of English, but also the other talent in other nations is huge. And I want to see them pitted against each other. You know, your 10 best players from each nation. Let's go head to head and see who wins that starting shirt for sure.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of talk about, oh, it's always tier one nations playing against each other, but there's nothing to say, okay, the first one is New Zealand, the second one couldn't be against, you know, North America, so Canada and America, right? Yeah. And there's nothing to say it wouldn't be France. We've just got to get something started, and what a place to start.
Just even if it was, you know, in a backyard, 1v1s, like, start something, get it on the calendar, and, you know, as we've seen, stadiums are selling out now, and you know, it seems like every Six Nations games there's a new record come and that sort of thing. No, you put it up, you show that there's a market for it, and people will come, people will watch, people will take it up, and I think that is a must for women's rugby. It's a shame it didn't happen 10 years ago, but, you know, it's happening now, and that's fantastic that we're seeing the game just, yeah, absolutely snowball.
Well said.
Yeah, as are all the players, like, that's where you want to play. Like, you're just pipping up against, you know, all the home nations, and you want to, like, be competitive and in that squad and stuff. So it adds so much more, like, in a non-World Cup year kind of thing. So, yeah.
Have you guys both played Barbarians?
No.
No. Yeah, I played
Nomads. Do you remember Nomads?
Oh, yeah. That was basically Barbarians, wasn't it? And I bet that was a great crack as well.
That was a cracking crack.
There we go. She knows. Yeah, so good. So good. So, like, I've done it as on the piss kind of style of Barbarians, whereas obviously the British and Irish Lions would be incredible and not as much piss, but certainly I think the friendships you make, and, you know, I played alongside Fee from New Zealand, and, you know, for 15 years we were kicking each other's heads in, and then we're having beers and there's pictures of me cuddling her on Twickenham. I'm like, what the hell? This is so nuts. That's the beauty of rugby, right?
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm mindful we got to let you go, because this pod could go on for hours. I'm sure we'd open a beer now and just keep on going. But before you do go, we put out a question on Twitter. We asked some people, what do they want to ask Rocky Clark MBE? And we've had a couple. So quick fire. Okay, so Rugby Julia says, what does Rocky think of the unbeatable Welsh front row right now? And who does she have her eye on?
Already mentioned her. Yeah. Cecilia, she's incredible. So impressed with her. I'd love to pack down with her one day. You never know, an old Barbarians in 30 years' time dig me up. And then obviously, Donna Rose and Kels are fantastic players. I've been really impressed. And I think if you can get a mobile front five carrying and being real threats of ball in hand, doing those high collision contacts, I think are really good. Those girls have been insane.
We don't need backs. And one more off Amiga Photography. If you could play for any other country, who would it be and why is it Wales?
I tell you what, if I hadn't been able to play for England or I wasn't English, I'd have played for anybody else. I wear all other nations' jerseys and caps and whatever. Do particularly like Wales and Irish, like they're always a good crack afterwards. But I love New Zealand, how much they like rip each other in half every game. Like, so, you know, imagine playing sort of that international standard every single training session would be brutal. So, yeah, any of those three would do.
Good stuff.
Can't say France, though. Cannot say France for some reason.
Rocky Clark, MBE. Diolch. Thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to have a beer with you, whether it's on the Lions Tour or down at Cardiff Arms Park.
Sounds like a plan. Cannot wait. Thank you so much for having me on, girls. And enjoy the Six Nations when they come up.
Yeah, countdown's on. Thank you. Hello, here we go. My first time in introductions. So here we go. We've got Natalia John, everybody. 35 caps for Wales. She's a current Brython Thunder player. And then previously with Swansea Uni, Ospreys, Bristol, and a teammate of mine at Worcester. So welcome, Tals. It's great to have you on.
It's nice to be here.
How are you doing? How is the body?
Feeling a bit sore, even though I've had a week off. Happy to get back to it.
Nice. So, well, you've come back after a long injury kind of period and stuff. So I bet it's quite nice to kind of get into this running with Brython Thunder and everything.
Yeah, I think the first 80 was definitely a shock to the system. I think it was my first full 80 in about a year. So at the end of the game, I was just like, oh my God, I made it. I made it to the end. It's the end of the game.
So for those listeners that don't quite know, so you've been through a bit of an ordeal. Take us back to the injury and your comeback from it.
Yeah, so playing for Worcester against Exeter, I did my PCL in the warm-up. Lovely grade 2, borderline grade 3. So I kind of had to fight back from that. And then playing against England in the Six Nations, I did my ACJ, and that was like pretty bad, nearly a surgery job. But hopefully, like they just said, right, we'll try rehabbing back from it.
And that's your shoulder, right?
Yes. So the top joint here. So I've lost two ligaments in there.
Okay.
Yeah. And then getting ready for WXV, I had a grade 3 calf tear. So I was like, you know, just I had a bit of a calf niggle, and I was really trying to push back to go out with the girls to New Zealand, and then it, you know, just didn't go right for me. But you know, I've had a lot of time with everything else that's happened with losing my nephew. I think I've had a lot of time to just heal, both mentally and physically. And I'm just, you know, really excited to get back in the Welsh jersey, really.
Nice. It's great to see your energy for that and getting back into the game and stuff. It's pretty tough. It's pretty brutal when you've got injury and then back-to-back injuries as well.
You know, injuries is part and part of the game. It's something we've all have to overcome. But for, you know, just that relentless amount, like mentally, what did it take to come back?
Like a lot, I think. Like my self-belief was just gone. Like my confidence was just absolutely shot because I just didn't believe that my body could do it, because like all of them were kind of freak accidents. Like nothing would have stopped them from happening. Like doing my PCL, it was the way I was tackled, the way I fell. Like doing my shoulder, someone landed on me. Like my calf, it was just pushing off. Like these things, like that I couldn't, there was nothing I could have done to stop them from happening. So it's kind of like being okay with that fact and realizing, like, you know, it was completely out of my control, but what I can do now is control what can I do next. Like, you know, I, like there was a point where I was like, well, like, do I just retire? Is that my body telling me no more rugby? Like I can't do it. And like my head was just all over the shop. But I kind of like sat down, I was like, right, what do I want? Well, I really want 50 caps. I really want to get to that milestone. It's like, oh, how am I going to do that? I'm going to have to work my socks off. I'm going to have to work 10 times harder than a lot of people around me who have had, you know, like, and to rebuild that confidence and kind of remember like that I'm good at what I do and just kind of finding what I'm good at again. And it's been really nice, like, especially with this Brith on Thunder, like don't get me wrong, playing in the PWR was great, but there was a lot of pressure. And like, you know, it's like high stakes games and like you're playing against like world-class opposition. It's kind of nice to be playing in somewhere that maybe the standards aren't quite as high, but you know, just a chance for me to build up my confidence. And it's nice to kind of have that leadership role. So I kind of like, you know, I'm good at this. I just need to remember that I'm good at this and just keep pushing through it.
Yeah. And you also said like the massive reduction in travel and things like that. Like you're like, Brathon's training at Parker Scarlett's and what do you say, 10 minutes from your house kind of thing. So
yeah, it's great. Like, cause I was thinking about, you know, when Worcester went, I was like, right, well, what English clubs could I go to? Where would I have to travel? And I was kind of looking at, you know, you talk to coaches and you look at the spaces they've got, but they're all the ones on the west side, you know, like Gloucester and Exeter, they've got great international second row. So I was having to look at like Loughborough or like Leicester Tigers or like Ealing Trailfinders, you know, I was like kind of considering like, do I reach out to them? But in my head, I was like, with everything that's happened this year, like, I just want to be around my family. I just want to enjoy rugby again and like play it with a smile on my face. And I think, you know, this has been the perfect opportunity for that, for me physically and mentally, to just kind of hit reset and like I can look at pushing again next season.
Nice. And for our listeners, as Gemma always says,
all 10
now of them. That we're in like that professional kind of era, like what is it like to be in that rehab stage? Like what kind of things, what does your week would look like? Because actually sometimes when you're recovering from injuries, you actually have to train harder and longer hours than any of the players that are kind of fit and getting ready for games and things.
So when the girls were away in New Zealand, I was in Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I'd be in from like 8 o'clock in the morning until maybe like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And like, a lot of the time it was gymming on like with some of the girls who were rehabbing. So that wasn't so bad, but like we're all at different stages. You kind of were all in your own different sections, you know, dealing with your own things that you had to push through. But I think the hardest part for me was being in the bike room on my own in the chamber, as we call it. And it's horrific in there, especially when they chuck the heat on and there's watt bikes and it's, you come out of there sweating, probably crying most of the time I come out there. And like running on your own, like I found that really hard, like, because it is just like, it was just straight line running on your own, you against the clock. And it's just like, rep after rep, it's so like monotonous. Like you just gotta like keep going, keep your head down. But you know what made it better is when, you know, everyone came back, they were like, oh, you've been working hard, didn't you? And I was like, yeah, I have actually. But you know, it is tough, and especially like doing that rehab, like, and a lot of the girls who were injured at the same time as me, we've been talking about, it's just like, it's such a lonely place to be, especially when you're seeing like the girls like out playing and like you desperately want to be there. It was hard in that sense, but you know, physically I feel like I'm in a bit of a better place. My left calf is bigger than my right calf now. My left calf is the one I injured, so need to start evening them up, I think.
Awesome. I always find that that fitness element, that running and stuff like that, it's such a mental game. Like you're just playing tricks on yourself when you're doing rehab fitness like by yourself, and it's just like trying to push yourself through, and you're just playing tricks on yourself, and it's and you can grow so much from it because you keep having to kind of build those sessions and stuff, so week in week out, that you start actually somehow enjoying them, like even though they're horrendous, but you're getting stronger.
We call it like post-traumatic growth, don't they? I've had that conversation so many times with the site, especially after the year I've had. But no, and I, do you know what I'm grateful for as well? Because like I talk to some of my friends at Swansea Uni and like girls I've played sevens with, and like when they've had injuries, they're kind of waiting so long for maybe like something from the NHS to like help get them back on the pitch. And, you know, an ACL, like if it were to happen, like to us in the professional game, like, you know, 9 months and we could be back. So some of these girls, it's like a year and a half, like 2 years. So I do feel really privileged that we have that opportunity. And I don't think, you know, I spoke to someone about it earlier and I was like, if I didn't have this professional setup now after the year I've had, I really don't think I'd be back. Like, wow. I'd be like, I definitely think I would have packed it in. Like my head would have just gone. But having something like, it is my job and like it's something I can fight for, and like having that, I do feel extra lucky.
Yeah, it makes you realize that it's not just about the money, is it? It's about the whole setup that comes with it and the resource that you're given to be an athlete.
Yeah, wow, that was powerful. Like the scans, like the physios, like the doctors, like they're all there, and like they're always a message away. Even when they were in New Zealand, they would check in and say, how's it going? How's your running going? And like Deck, who was with us at the time, would send videos and we'd run in and we'd all celebrate that together. And I think that's a really nice part of being able to focus solely on just getting back fit.
Mm. So nice. You've obviously got your eyes set on the Six Nations. Sorry, Kai, I saw you coming in with a question and I wanted one. But for the meantime, you're in the Celtic Challenge. So this kind of setup is brand new, incredible for the Welsh game. I know you're an advocate for improving the game in Wales as well. So talk to us about how that's been. What's the setup like? What's the environment like? And was it like being a leader in that space?
You know, I've been really enjoying it. I think for so long, like, you know, when we had like the regional setups, like it was a way for the girls to, especially like the uni girls or girls who've been playing club rugby in Wales, it's a way for them to kind of like take that step in the right direction, because it is like the jump from like playing for your local club, like in Buryport, for example, to playing international is huge. So having something like this where the girls can experience that professional environment. Don't get me wrong, like Ashley, like he is great at like being like, I just want you guys to play. I just want you guys to enjoy yourselves and like enjoy working hard for each other. But it's good for like, especially us girls who've come back over from Worcester, like we're pushing these standards and we're like, right, if you want to play at an international level, if you want to, you know, push hard, like this is what we have to do. And it's, you know, sometimes it has been like frustrating when, you know, trainer sessions where girls are obviously tired from work and you're like, oh, come on girls, let's go. But it's been really like nice to see them pushing themselves as hard as well. And like, they're asking questions, you know, they all want to be better and that can only be better for the game. And I think it's so positive that something like this has come into light, because, you know, they're talking about this competition growing again next year. There's talks of like, you know, maybe other nations getting involved. So, you know, nothing's like set in stone yet, but especially for this, you know, gap we've had for too long for girls in Wales to, because it used to be like, if you weren't playing for an English club, like, you know, how are you going to get seen? It was going to be really, really hard if you weren't playing week in, week out at such a high level, it's going to be really hard for you to get spotted. But with a competition like this, it gives, you know, Welsh coaches access to those girls that they might not have seen before, and gives them a chance really to test themselves and push themselves at a bit of a higher level. And I think, you know, it's only going to go from strength to strength as long as we keep investing in it. And, you know, it's all well and good to like have these teams, but, you know, I look at like Edinburgh and Glasgow and like the work they're putting into their teams, even on social media, like it's great. And we just need to keep pushing for that. And hopefully in the future, then it'll just get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, definitely being part of Gwalia Lightning.
Ooh. It's not going to kick off by you now, is it?
No, she's lucky I like her.
Yeah. Cheers. I've definitely like seen hunger in players like come. Like it's really exciting. Like we've got some girls who probably haven't been involved in, or players that haven't been involved in under 18s and 20s, probably missed out because of COVID and stuff like that as well, and not having teams around. And I can just see that they're like, this is my chance, like full on committing everything they possibly can. And with that, with the under 18s, and like Rocky mentioned earlier around, we talked about like some players coming back. So Rebecca DeFilippo, Shauna Wakeley, or Shauna Powell-Hughes, coming back into that fold with that experience, like it just breeds kind of that competitiveness, like, and that kind of up the intensity. And like for Gwalia at the moment, we're training at Cardiff Met, and like the facilities are great. Like we've got that gym access, we've got staff, you know, infrastructure. It's all in a part time, and people are coming after work. But you can definitely see the intensity and the standard of the want from players, but also like the skill set. Like, oh, I'm so excited like by some of the plays that are coming out from it as well. So it's really cool.
So do we want to talk about performances to date? Because it's been a bit lopsided. We got to talk about it. So Carol, we got you representing Gwalia Lightning, and Talia, you're obviously Brython Thunder. Let's start with Brython Thunder. It's 0-3 with you guys, and we've seen all the comms, and we saw Alex Callender, you know, backing your team 100%. Who have you got next, and how are you going to go into that game, and how are you preparing for that?
So for me, like, you know, our first game against like Gwalia, that was the first time a lot of us had played with each other. And I think like, especially like that game, especially, I remember like one of the girls, like Finn, turning to me going, am I doing everything okay? Like, am I doing all right? Like, I was like, yeah, girl, just keep hitting everything. I don't care, as long as you just keep trying. And like, and then some of the other girls like realizing, you know, how big of a step up it is maybe to what they've dealt with before, you know, like, some girls are like walking to the lineup, for example. And then when we review it, and I was like, I don't want to see any more of this. Like, this is not where we want to be. So it's like, and every week we have grown. And I think a lot of the time, especially with some of the younger girls in our squad, it's their confidence, especially like in our backs. Like, we have got the talent there, but some of these like young girls, it's kind of a bit like, whoa, this is massive. So each game they've been growing, and it's been great to see. And, you know, each training session, like, voices are getting louder. And I think, you know, it came to kind of a head in the Edinburgh game where, you know, we were quite unlucky, and some of the reffing decisions in that game that didn't quite go our way. I will say no more about it. But, you know, that was a game that we could have won. And, you know, like, kind of looking at the Wolfhounds, like, yeah, they're a physical side, but the growth that we've shown over the last three games, like, yes, we're going to be the underdogs, but I think what's been really positive in this league is that it's not incredibly far away. Like, you look at the other performances, and they're not massively different. Like, not one team is running away with it like 60-0, you know, which is happening in the PWR. Like, they're not incredibly even, but they're not incredibly distant either. So, you know, I'm really excited for this weekend. It's going to be tough because we're traveling up the morning of, so it's going to be quite a long day. And for some of these girls, it's going to be, you know, a different experience for them. But, you know, I'm really excited. Like, as long as we just, it's not necessarily if we win, it's just about performances. And I really do think we've been growing in every game.
100%. I agree. Like, you can see the building in plays and in confidence and in intensity. from Brythonan. And that, for me, that's what this is about at the moment. It's like that development, like, and then start building the team and gelling the teams and stuff. Because there's two factors. It's kind of people being introduced to a new environment, and then people coming back from injuries, trying to like get back into that game time space. And then there's that performance side of actually, like, now I'm pushing for that place for the Six Nations, because I'm sure that people are, like, there's a few new names that are putting their hands up, which is really exciting to see. And this is the space for them to, you know, actually do that. So it's great as a competition.
Mm. So give us a Gwalior perspective on things. So you went 2 from 2, and then and lucky to not come away with that third win. So where do you sit in, and what's your view on the team so far?
Oh, I have to double check actually now. I think we're third in the table, second or third, joint with Edinburgh.
Yeah,
we're in the top three. I think we're joint with them on points now. Oh, you've caught me.
You're the coach.
So we've had two good starts up again. So we had Brython and we had Glasgow. Two good wins from there, and both kind of opposition brought different kind of things to us. So it was really like initially in that Brython game, like you said, Tal, you don't really know, because the girls haven't really played together before, so you don't really know how it's going to gel together. So that was really pleasing to see and really exciting to see how kind of they turned up and set that kind of marker for us, which was amazing. And then we went away to Clovers last weekend, away in, played in Musgrove Park, actually, Munster's ground, out in Cork, which was a brilliant experience for people. And yeah, so we, a really good game, really competitive game. And we lost in the last, they scored a try in the last play of the game. And so it was drawing 17-all, and they had to score a conversion to win it, to clinch it and take it away from us. So lots of learnings from that one. But we've got Edinburgh this weekend now, we're in that battle really for that top three, kind of like top two, top one spot. Hard Farms Park.
Yes, I was just going to say, let's promote it, because you're the home team this weekend.
Yes. Cardiff Arms Park. I need to double check exactly kickoff. If it's 1 or 1:30, I'll get confused.
Well, let's all get there for one.
Nice. Get there for one so you're on time.
Yeah. Are you the least informed coach in the league?
Sorry. Managing lots of different things with a full-time job. So, hey, I know my forward stuff. That's what we're doing.
I feel the same though, and I'm a player. Like, do you know, I remember like playing in the Six Nations, you'd be like, oh, what time's your game? And I'm like, I don't know. I just kind of turn up.
I have a team manager to tell me what time.
Yeah, the time is already up, isn't it? So we're not used to having to know CT, so don't stress about it.
it's good. And then in a few weeks' time, then we've got an away game into Ireland. And then after that, it turns into playoffs. Which would be really interesting. Then it kind of turns into cup final kind of games, really. So to get your final rankings, there'll be a game, a weekend in Scotland, a weekend in Ireland, and then finishing off that final weekend in Wales.
So
not a pack of dollars. I only know because I had to plan the end of season.
There we go. More importantly, your social set.
Well, self-appointed.
Yeah. I was always self-appointed social secretary.
I just think, like especially for these girls, like a lot of them is like their first time in senior rugby. So I really wanted them to feel that like camaraderie and like actually feel like, you know, I'm part of a team that wants to be around each other. And I'm a big pushover. I always pride myself on being that person within a squad that anyone can talk to, because I feel like it's so important, especially for younger girls, to feel comfortable in a high performance environment.
Yeah. You don't want us and them, do you? You don't want that building because, oh, these are internationals, these play in the PWR, I get to play alongside them. It's like, actually, no, we play for Brython, we are one. Yeah. So will there be a kangaroo court?
Ask the questions, I'll tell no lies.
So that's a solid yes. mindful we've gone over time, but before you go, we've got some questions that are coming over Twitter. People want to ask you. What do you think of bringing, and this is something that Carol mentioned previously, or might have been you, Natalia, actually, if this league does grow, bringing in other teams from other nations, because, you know, we're just at the start right now, right? We could progress this so much. But bringing in Italian and Spanish teams, what do you think of that?
I think that would be great. I think, you know, the quickest way to, like, get better is to play against better opposition. And for a lot of these, like, these girls, it's their first experience of that. And, you know, we look at the English league, it is built by the English for the English. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that is their league and they are there to grow their English players. So we need to think, okay, if our girls were not English, so if there's a girl in this, in, like, an English girl in your position, she is going to get picked over you, and that's that, because that's what that league is for. So we need to start thinking, okay, what are we putting on in Wales that's going to help our girls grow? Because, you know, they're the best team, like, England are the best team in the world for the reason they are fully invested in that league, to have that pathway, clear pathway for the girls. And, like, if this league grows and, like, we start thinking, like, it's like the Pro 14 and, like, we're playing home and away games, and, you know, you do have that full calendar of, like, getting in, like, as many minutes as you can, I think it'll be an absolutely incredible opportunity, and it's only gonna improve like Six Nations performances, especially, like, you know, Scotland, like Ireland, like Wales and Italy. We all want to be competing with England and France, and the only way to do that is to get that competitive game time in, week out.
Yeah. And we love an away trip. 100%. Let's think about the fans, yeah. A weekend in Rome.
Who's to say?
Can I also add, it's adding an element around, like, me as a retired player, like that element of coach and, like, opportunities to be able to take those. So, like, Katrina Nicholas is, McLaughlin is our head coach, like Ashley Beck with a breath on. So there's opportunity, and Lisa Burgess and Mark Davis with us in the back, forwards and backs. And just opportunities for coaches and the referees, like, kind of to progress. So it's another level, like, for within that pathway, not just for our players, but for coaches and for referees as well.
Yeah, more teams, more development for everyone, right?
Yes.
100%.
Cool. Okay, here's another one for you, Natalia. What do you think of the standard of these games, Celtic Challenge, compared to the English League? So this is from Rugby Mad 88. And do you think these teams could ever compete?
I think at the minute, no. Because the PWR is such a well-established league. And, you know, the setups they've had in place, like being a part of it, it's so professional over there. And they've done such an amazing job at creating this pathway, like I've said before. And I think at the moment, for especially some of the younger girls in Wales, like, it is too big of a jump. But, you know, in, like, I would say, like, maybe like 2 years' time, like, I couldn't see why we wouldn't be competing with those teams in that league. It's just that consistent competitive game time. Like, you can train, like, as much as you want with the best coaches in the world, but if you're not getting that consistent competitive game time where you're trying new things, you're pushing yourself to that different level, you're never going to know how far you're going to go. So I think, like, in like 2 years' time, like, I think it will be there, but just right now, we're just working on closing that gap.
Yeah. Carol, you agree?
No. I think that...
No offense sitting on this pod.
No. I agree around that we need time to develop and strengthen so that we've got depth in the squads. But I think on our day, 100%, there's some really talented players in both squads, and we can play against some of those teams in the PWR, 100%. But that's the magic, right? That's the exciting bit, yes. Like, getting us to that's talk about want. That and to start kind of actually, like, it's a comparison. Before, we didn't have a comparison, and now we've got something to build on. So it's brilliant.
Yeah. So I've got a bit of a left field question on Twitter here. This is off Hugh Griffin. Thoughts on the kits, and will these jerseys be made publicly available? I heard lots of people say they would like to purchase one, including him. I think this is a bigger question. I think it's about brand identity. I think what we got is an opportunity right now with WRU. We had, in the men's game, I hate referring to the men's game, but in the men's game, we had that whole regional debacle in the whole early 2000s where people lost identity with the regions. And it causes, you know, I can't support them because they're Blues or Ospreys or Scarlets or whatever. But it seems like, and the kick question comes into this, is there's an opportunity here with two brand new franchises where there's no current allegiance to build something really special behind these brand names. And I think he was asking, you know, making kits available buys into that. Can we walk around with a Lightning or a Thunder kit on? And what would that do in terms of growing and strengthening the brand awareness behind these teams? So I'm sure I've just diluted that question massively, but what do you think? Should we be able to buy these jerseys?
I think, like, personally, they're not the nicest jerseys to wear, and I'll be honest about that.
I love how honest you are.
Like, I'm not going to lie, but, you know, like, that's the thing. It is the start, and if we can start building the excitement and putting in the performances, then we can start like building it into something exciting. And like, you know, it would be brilliant. I'd love to see someone walking around wearing like Wally or Brython kit. Cause like, you know, we look about the Ospreys and the Scarlets and like, and all the drama there. My mum says I'll never support the Scarlets. Yeah. Right. As a like diehard Ospreys fan, but you know, she'll happily support Brython in Parker Scarlets. So it is just about building it and getting excited. And I think the more growth we have and the more reason we have behind it to get people following us, and like the bigger our games get, like, why not? You know, I don't think it should be like unavailable to people. It's like the same thing with the Mary Earps jersey, isn't it? Like, she had to fight really, really hard for that. So I just always like to say, why not? Like, is it an issue? Like, no, not really. Let people buy what they want. Let people spend their money on whatever they want to spend it on.
Yeah. That's really well put. And also, you've already got a fan base. You know, Al Cal already got a fan base. Seanhead's already got a fan base. These are young girls that could be walking around in your Brython shirt. That's something special, right?
Yeah, 100%. Oh, and Gwalia as well. But
Gwalia, sorry. Yeah. 100%.
Like, this is now part of pathway. So you want them to aspire to be there. Like, it's our highest kind of club standard in Wales for the women's game. You've got to.
Yeah, I want a Carol Thomas coaching jacket to be walking around in. That's what I want.
Where it says coach on the back.
Coach.
Love it.
Amazing. Yeah.
One more question. So, announcement come out about the 2027 Lions. Are you going for a Lions shirt?
Oh God, like, who's to say? Obviously, everyone would say, anyone who says no is lying, right? Everyone who says no to that is absolutely lying. But like, in my heart of hearts, like, I'm thinking, like, once I reach 50 caps and like I'm happy with the game has kind of like grown behind me, and like I want girls to be pushing me out of my jersey. I want girls to be like pushing me out, because then I'm like, yeah, this squad is growing and it's becoming something much bigger than me. So like, obviously, if I'm still performing, you know, when it does come, like, of course, like, I'll definitely try and put my hand up. But, you know, I'm also aware that I'm not getting any younger. And, you know, the day is going to come probably soon. But who's to say? Who knows? Oh, I don't know. I don't know if my body can hack it.
To be honest, you've come back, you've had the next 3 years should be a walk in the park.
Yeah.
Who's to say? I'm not making any promises, but yeah, I would love it. And I would work hard for it, because who wouldn't want to be there and be a part of that, like, history?
I just want to correct myself, just to confirm. So Gwalior Lightning versus Edinburgh this Sunday, 27th of Jan at Cardiff Arms Park, and it's a 1:30 kickoff. Be there or be square. And then the final weekend of the whole competition is on the 2nd of March. So make sure you keep that date free so you get to know the details.
But there is also another Welsh team, the Brython Thunder. They're playing on Saturday at the Kingspan Stadium at 7:30. So that's Saturday, January 27th. Get on Rugby Pass, and it's probably on BBC as well, isn't it? Which is amazing. I get to watch all your games from my sofa, which is lovely.
Oh, it's awesome, isn't it? Face. Awesome that it's all covered.
No, it's great. And it's like you can't see, you can't be. I always say that. So it's just nice that these games are available to watch. And like women's rugby is starting to get streamed and we're starting to drum up interest, because why not? It's about time.
Yeah. Natalia, John, diolch so much. Thank you so, so much for joining us on the pod, giving us real honest insight into your journey and the next chapter, possibly. We wish you all the best. And we really, really hope, fingers crossed, that Britain come away with their first win on the weekend.
No fingers crossed about it.
Good luck. Thank you.
No fingers crossed about it.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Carol Thomas, it's been an action-packed pod.
It has indeed.
It has
indeed.
People
from different countries.
Well, we let another English one in.
Aye. By mistake. No. Front row, where she's allowed.
So loads of front row club going on in this podcast.
Well, to be honest, I think we only have 4 words as guests.
We set our stake out early. We got rid of Phil. It's just about 4 words now. I'm very much looking forward to come down to the Isles Park, possibly that last game, to come and watch you coach. I'm just going to stand on the other side of the pitch and just watch you the whole time.
Running water on, I am.
Oh, amazing. See, you're multi-talented.
Yeah, get my messages on. Yeah, important job.
Are you enjoying it?
I'm actually really, really enjoying it. I'm loving it. The step between playing, retiring, and then I've always had an interest in coaching, but this opportunity with Gwalior, really enjoyed the coaching team that we've got and the kind of environment we've got and the opportunity to really kind of... the players are doing fantastic and kind of buying into what we want and coming up with kind of ways to beat teams. So there's some talented players out there.
It's exciting to watch them. I've been impressed from the first game, that New Year's Day game. You know, there was obviously something very special about this team. And then you went away with 3 great performances. So no doubt you're going to put in another one on the weekend, and something special about Gwalior Lightning. I'm a fan. So wish you best of luck for the rest of the tournament. Carlisle. If you know where you're going and somebody tells you where the games are.
Oh, God.
Here we go. Diolch yn fawr.